So my lovely assistant Jackie is walking around with some handouts, and we're going to be showing at least one video of Lama Zopa Rinpoche this morning, and sometimes it's a little difficult to understand what he's saying, so this is a transcript of the videos, and so you're welcome to use a copy if you'd like to help understand that presentation if you're having any trouble. So good morning and welcome to Kadampa Center. Thank you. So Geshe Gelug has out-of-town relatives visiting. So he will not be coming this morning. Instead, Mayor Stafford and I will be doing a presentation today. But we'll start off like any other normal Sunday with prostrating together if you choose. If this is your first time coming to the center, this is something that we do as a practice of humility and to show respect to the teachings. We'll be seeing some teachings by Lama Zopa Rinpoche on video, so not to me in any sort of way. And so if you're unfamiliar with that practice, you don't need to do it. And then we'll be saying some opening prayers. And again, you can follow along. The books are in the back of the chairs if you're sitting in a chair. And you can just read them if you don't want to recite them and just kind of get a feel for what we're about. So we'll start with three prostrations all together. My rock and roll headset here. And then we'll start with the prayers on the first yellow sheet that's in the prayer book. We'll be saying Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra three times, and then we'll say the four immeasurables both in English and Tibetan. And then while the kids are here, we'll say some mantras as well. Tayata Om Mune Mune Maha Munaye Soha. Tayata Om Mune Mune Maha Munaye Soha. Tayata Om Mune Mune Maha Munaye Soha. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Sem chen tam che de wa dang de we gyu dang den par gyu chi. Mantra and Green Tara mantras, which are at the bottom of the pink sheet on the next page if you're not familiar with those. mani padme hum. Om 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 tare tu tare tu re soha. 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 And so the children can go to their classes. And then just a small logistical matter, we're going to be showing at least one video of Lama Zopa Rinpoche. So if you came in a little bit late, we have transcripts available because sometimes it's a little hard to understand through his accent what he's saying. So if anyone would like that, please just raise your hand and Jackie will help make sure that one of those gets into your hands. So today the topic is going to be how while we have this amazing community of people who've created this center, Kadampa Center, and we feel very close as a family, we're also part of a much bigger family called the Foundation for the Preservation of the Mahayana Tradition. And we call that FPMT in short because it's such a mouthful to say. But the name really sums up what we're about, that we're preserving a certain lineage of teachings. And so we're going to talk about Kadampa Center's sort of role in this bigger picture, and in particular, we're going to talk about our spiritual director, Lama Zopa Rinpoche, because we have this very rare opportunity that he is coming to North Carolina next year, and we'll talk about what's going to happen when he comes and why that might matter to us. And I promise, for those of you who've been around for a while, we have some things, new things in here for you too. So. My name is Sarah Brooks, and I'm the Spiritual Program Coordinator here at Kadampa Center, so I help organize the teachings and events that happen at the center. I do respond if students are requesting the teachings, which is really the tradition of Tibetan Buddhism, is you ask for teachings. I take that to our director, Robbie Watkins, and our resident monk, Geshe Gelick, and we help plan programs around that. And then Mayor Stafford is joining us today. That's the lovely lady in orange over here. And Mayor Stafford, you might have met her before because she and her husband Troy and their three beautiful girls came to Kadampa Center when we were building the stupa out front, and very generously did the gold gilding on the pinnacle at the top. And so we got our hooks into them when they were here and convinced them to move here from Maine. And then we hired Maron as the Light of the Path Retreat Coordinator, which is what's going to be happening next year when Lama Zopa Rinpoche comes. So, again, we'll tell you a lot more about that a little bit later. And I just wanted to tell you a little bit about Mare since she's new to us, and to help you welcome her and know a little bit about her background, Dharma background particularly. She currently works for Lama Yeshe Wisdom Archive as a video archivist. And Lama Yeshe Wisdom Archive is an amazing online resource of free access to free Dharma teachings by our lineage lamas. They produce free books. They get sponsors so that if you want a Dharma book, you can have it. And those are, we keep a whole stock of those out in our bookstore. And so that's really, I can't emphasize enough how amazing that is. She worked for several years as a transcriber of Lama Zopa Rinpoche's teachings for this archive. She was a member of Kurukula Center in Boston and of Milarepa Center in Vermont, both of which are sister centers in our organization. So she's very familiar with how the FPMT works. And she also founded a center in Maine called Tashi Gyatso Ling, which is also in the Gelugpa tradition, so the same tradition, so a very similar group as well. She's completed the study of discovering Buddhism and 1 year of the master's program through Lama Tsongkhapa Institute, and she's offered service in many capacities to the FPMT and to the centers and Kadampa Center. So we're very fortunate to have her here. So to start off, I'd like to show a really lovely short video about FPMT to give you an idea about who Lama Zopa Rinpoche is, who Lama Yeshe is, what our mission is, and what we're a part of.
Years ago, a man in India revolutionized the way we think of spirituality. Enlightenment, he said, is a perfect, satisfied state of mind we can all achieve, right here, right now. His name was the Buddha, which means awakened one. The Buddha's message spread all over Asia and took root strongly in the Himalayan region of Tibet. For over 1,000 years, Buddhism flourished in the land of snows. However, everything changed in the 1950s. The communist Chinese invaded Tibet, forcing the Dalai Lama and 150,000 Tibetans to become permanent refugees over the next 50 years. Yet, what was a tragic escape for thousands of Tibetan spiritual masters became a profound source of wisdom for those of us in the West.
World peace will not come from sky or from earth, or world peace cannot produce by mission, but by true inner peace.
Buddhism has gone from obscurity to wide acceptance, with interest from Hollywood celebrities, politicians, professionals, athletes, artists, and to former Jews and Christians. Why is it so popular?
I think Tibetan Buddhism helps me to understand that being compassionate to others and understanding, you know, the true nature of things helps me to interpret life and to deal with life in a way which is most effective, in a way which is most compassionate to others. And I think this compassion is truly what gives me the strength and the happiness and the drive to do what I do in life.
There were many groups that brought Tibetan Buddhism to the West. One group in particular was founded by Lama Yeshe and Lama Zopa Rinpoche, who have been instrumental in transmitting the practicality of Buddhism into Western lives. Some of their first students included soul-searching hippies and rebels, but everyone was welcome at Kopan Monastery, their base in Kathmandu, Nepal. From Kopan, the largest worldwide network of more than 136 Buddhist centers was born, the foundation for the preservation of the Mahayana tradition.
I came here to Koppan to take a 1 month course thinking that it would be good for me to learn meditation. And I also was so surprised to find such a deep understanding of the nature of life, the nature of suffering, and what we can actually do to overcome suffering. That was something I never even thought existed in this world.
We do have power, human being, we do have power to change our lifestyle, to change our attitude, to change our habit.
Lama Yeshe really captured my heart. It was as though I got to go beyond myself for a moment and experience this incredible happiness. And then Lama would say, yeah, that's it. That's what you're going for. And that kind of love is what you can have for everybody.
The FPMT has helped to transform lives with the guidance of many authentic teachers like the Dalai Lama, Lama Yeshe, and Lama Zopa Rinpoche, and through meditation and social activities. The message is simple: world peace through inner peace, and inner peace through helping others.
Benefit others. We see not only stop giving harm, you benefit others. Everybody needs loving kindness. From loving kindness, then you can eat your freedom. There's only one of us, Lama Rinpoche. Everything is compassion with Rinpoche, we're benefiting others. To see a person in flesh and blood, you know, manifesting loving compassion like all the Buddhas in the past have done so. And that's rare.
Dharma to the West, and I really do feel from our Lama's efforts we'll really have something solid with Buddha Dharma in the West that will have the numbers to be able to have much more of an impact, I hope, on world peace and inner peace.
The Buddha's revolution of compassion and wisdom lives on.
So that really kind of helps summarize the FPMT, how it started, why we're here, and thank you for helping with the lights. And that we're really here because of the Western students of Lama Zopa Rinpoche and Lama Yeshe, who were so inspired by their teachings that they came back and they wanted to share that. They invited those teachers to come to the West, and the teachers accepted. And that built this relationship that developed into all these centers. So it wasn't Lama Zopa Rinpoche and Lama Yeshe decided, you know, we're gonna start a whole network. It's they inspired these students to do that. And one of those students was Don Brown, who we have a picture of up here, who you will still see around, and he teaches Discovering Buddhism classes. And he's been both the director and the spiritual program coordinator of the center. So he's one of the people who created a center in this network of what's now 161 centers in 36 countries. That's actually our family. We think of our family as just being our little Kadampa Center group, but I've met many of the different people from these centers and traveled to some of the centers, and they're just as wonderful as Kadampa Center. So when you encounter that, it's just amazing to feel that connection to all these people. And it's all under the spiritual direction of Lama Zopa Rinpoche and the FPMT. Also part of this big organization are international publishers of the Dharma. We've mentioned Lama Yeshe Wisdom Archive. Wisdom Publications is another major Dharma publisher that provides the books that we're able to sell in our bookstore. Mandala Magazine is the magazine of FPMT. And that's really special because it's basically just for all our centers to send in their news and about what Lama Zopa Rinpoche is doing and stories by students like us who are practicing and what they've learned and encountered. And when you start subscribing to that magazine and reading about that, you again start to see how we're part of this bigger family and get more comfortable with going to other centers and taking advantage of what they're offering too. There are charitable projects that range from the Sarah J. Food Fund, which I'll tell you more about in a minute, sponsoring the Dharma and teachers of the Dharma, to the Omdo Eye Clinic to provide desperately needed medical care. So there's a whole gambit of charitable projects that are happening through the FPMT. There's monasteries and nunneries. There are retreat facilities for students who want to do either short or long retreat. You can travel to one of the FPMT centers and do that. So that just gives you an idea of how big our family really is and how many resources are there for all of us. Kadampa Center was started in 1991 to provide a place for the study and practice of Tibetan Buddhism following this lineage. And we talk about lineage in Tibetan Buddhism because it's considered very important to be able to say, well, I learned this from my teacher, and my teacher learned it from this teacher, and his teacher before, and that gets traced all the way back to the Buddha. So there's something very authentic about what's being passed down, and it's not just, as Geshe-la said, I didn't just make this up last night. And, you know, there were many other members who helped establish the early center, including our current director, Robbie Watkins, members Joanna Smith and Patrick McGinnity, who are still here regularly and do many projects for the center, Herb Cunningham, and you can see a photo of all those people and a couple more with Don and Geshe-la when he first got here. And that's about how big the basement was. So it's sat maybe 50 people at most when we were really crammed in. When Venerable Rabina came, we managed to get 80 in, but we overflowed into the bookstore. Geshe-la came in 1999. We moved to this building in 2007, and we've experienced rapid growth ever since. And I wanted to mention all this because I wanted to talk about Geshe Gelug, who, since many of us see him day to day and hear his teachings and really appreciate how amazing he is, his tie to Lama Zopa Rinpoche, because it's actually due to Lama Zopa Rinpoche that Geshe-la is here. So this also comes back to the Sarah J. Food Fund. Lama Zopa Rinpoche organized this fund to provide three nutritious meals daily to the 2,500 monks at Sarah J. Monastery, which is Geshe Gelug's monastery. And that totals 3,029,500 meals a year being provided to the monks. I mean, what a huge gift. And so it's actually out of that devotion and sense of gratitude to Lama Zopa Rinpoche that when the monks complete this most advanced level of study called a Geshe degree, they come out of that program and Lama Zopa Rinpoche handpicks certain monks and says, will you come and teach at my centers? And out of that gratitude, they agree. And they come and they spend years in service to Lama Zopa Rinpoche and to teach us. So it's really quite profound. The center maintains a very close relationship with Lama Zopa Rinpoche, even though I imagine many of you haven't actually met him yet. But we follow his guidance, how to run the center, the programming that we provide, the key programs like Discovering Buddhism, Buddhism in a Nutshell, Meditation 101. These are all created by FPMT International Office. Lama Zopa Rinpoche personally reviews them, makes changes, tells us what practices need to be done in accordance with the programs. And then once they're to his satisfaction, then they're sent out to the centers, and we now can, again, have that guide for lineage in terms of how do we help promote the Dharma in an authentic way. Rinpoche travels the world teaching and leading practices. The last time he came to Kadampa Center was for the last Light of the Path retreat in 2010, and he was scheduled to come back the next year but manifested a stroke. So the retreat was postponed. Rinpoche, for several years, went through rehabilitation. He had some trouble speaking and with his arm and one of his legs. So his teaching schedule stopped for quite a while. And it's only recently that he started touring again. We're really excited that we're going to have the next Light of the Path retreat next year in May. It's May 4th through the 18th. So he's finally coming back. And in addition, the day before the retreat starts, he will be here at Kadampa Center giving a teaching on the 8 verses of thought transformation. So even if you can't attend the retreat, you will have the opportunity to meet Rinpoche and hear a taste of his teachings. And something about meeting him in person, it goes way beyond anything you can see in a video. And Mare will talk more about that when she comes up. The first two-week Light of the Path retreat happened in 2009, and Kadampa Center had requested Rinpoche to teach because, again, it's from the student side. We need to ask. And a very unusual thing happened. Not only did he agree to come and teach, but he's made a commitment to come for 5 annual two-week retreats that we've called Light of the Path. And the basis of the teachings, he said he would teach the entire Lam Rim, and the Lam Rim is the step-by-step path to enlightenment based on a core text by Lama Atisha called Lamp for the Path to Enlightenment. And Lama Atisha was a 10th century Indian master. He was invited to Tibet to eliminate confusion how Buddhism was being practiced at the time, and particularly to clarify how to combine the practices of the Sutra and the Tantra. And in response, he wrote this text where he took all these teachings of the Buddha, which there's 84,000 of them, and he condensed them all and organized them into this step-by-step, here you go, if you just do this, 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 and this, you'll become a Buddha. And that's really the foundation of what we're studying, how we practice. It's what we're studying on Wednesday night classes with Geshe Gelug. The Lam Rim Chenmo is a commentary on this text and is turning into a several-year course to go through this really in-depth. And so this is the heart of the retreat as well. And so again, to kind of give you a little taste of it, we're going to show a clip of Rinpoche from Light of the Path. The real meditation is Lam Rim.
Therefore, it is very worthwhile. That's what I'm saying. Therefore, it is extremely worthwhile.
And you have the transcript of this if you're having trouble hearing.
The Lam Rim, to attend the Lam Rim course. So, yeah. And then you see. It was like me, mind occupied with other things, and no time for meditation, Lam Rim, you know. The real meditation. You see, the Lam Rim stays the path of enlightenment. Didn't have time for that. Maybe doing more tantra meditation, more Lam Rim. You know, where you are interested more meditation that, but no Lam Rim. So, or not any other meditation. So anyway, however, so it's extremely worthwhile. Yeah, like you. So Pabanga Teshimimbo, a great enlightened being, Pabanga Teshimimbo, as I mentioned, in his teachings that even somebody who recited the Omani Padme Hum or the mantras, many hundred millions who recite mantras, the lives more meaningful meditate on Lam Dream. And then imagine that, meditating on the three person path, more meaningful than reciting many hundred millions of mantras. Or then Pawan the Yingba said that even life is more meaningful, meditating on Lam Dream, and then even seeing Buddha. So even seeing Buddha. Of course, you can understand by seeing Buddha, you don't become enlightened like that. You know, if you're able to see Buddha, you don't become enlightened like that. You know, without mentioning Lam Rim, you see, just by seeing Buddha, you become enlightened. That doesn't happen. So you have to have realization of, you see, all the delusions doesn't go like that. You see, you have to have good virtual realization on the root of the past enlightenment. What makes possible to have all the rest of the realizations after enlightenment? The renunciation, you see. The delusion, you know, the particular attachment. Then the right view, you know, the wisdom, then realizing this, the eliminate the ignorance. And then bodhicitta to eliminate the undertow to eliminate the self-cherishing thought. So you need these realizations. Then you need to isolate the generation stage and the completion stage. All these things. So the visualization the preparation to the purify the ordinary death, intimacy, rebirth and then the path chan chikayas, path chan dharmakaya, path chan samudhika, path chan nimakaya. The preparation of that, kind of those realizations, the plant and seed of the dharmakaya, rubakaya, dharmakaya, samudhika, nimakaya. Plant and seed of those. So you need to develop this realization of generation stage and then the completion stage. So this. The isolation, the expression, isolation of mind, that was part of the generation stage. So, isolation of mind, then, illusory body, the universe was true, then, universe of normal learning. So, so you have to each about that. All that doesn't happen in 1 second like this, just by seeing Buddha. Of course, you see the blessing of Buddha, but all that doesn't happen like that, you see. So, that's why Papanga was saying, more meaningful to maintain Lam Rim than just seeing Buddha, you see. I think among the students, there's somebody who has seen Buddha, you know, who received the appearance of Buddha, who saw. That happened. So doesn't mean they achieved, just after that they achieved both the realization or realized intimacy, doesn't mean that. Liu Tangsa, even the sutra, you see. So, like that, you see. Many ordinary people, they see Buddha. So, I mean, who has a great devotion, you know. Some, you see, whose mind is purified, you see. So that.
Thank you. And it just came to mind, I should probably mention too that one of the really cool things about the retreat is that I've got a short attention span, so sometimes when Rinpoche is saying things in little chunks, it's hard for me to follow what he's saying. We have a live transcriptionist who sits and types what he's saying on a huge screen behind him, so it makes the retreat a whole lot easier to follow. So these teachings, as I've mentioned, are really the core of our practice. You know, we talk about becoming happy, living a more meaningful life. This is the root of it. And the teachings from these Light of the Path retreats are so important that our international office is taking these videos, taking these transcriptions, creating them into a program called Living in the Path that's available online to students. And it's developing as each retreat happens to really preserve this lineage of the teachings in the lamas. So, you know, it's kind of hard to really understand how precious and important these retreats are. But to give you just, again, a little bit of a taste of it, literally students from all over the world, both in and out of FPMT, fly to North Carolina for this retreat. And in the past, we've had about 150 people come. We expect we'll probably fill up this year with 200 students coming. We've opened registration, and we have approximately 75 who've already registered who are mainly from other countries. And so it's actually filling up quite fast, and we want to make sure to tell you about it because it's our retreat that we're hosting, and you know, it would be so wonderful if Kadampa Center members could come. You can come for a weekend, you can come for a week, or you can come for the full 2 weeks. This retreat, and Mayor's going to talk again a little bit more about this, but this hosting this retreat then offers this program not only to the retreatants who come, but through Living in the Path. It's a huge act of service on our part to host it. And as the retreat gets closer, it's also something that we involve the entire community to help with. So it's really quite a big job to plan this big an event. We hired Mayor back in August, and the planning's been going on behind the scenes starting already way back then. When Rinpoche comes, we'll host him here in Raleigh first, and then basically we have to pack up at least, you know, almost half of the center's stuff and drive it out to Black Mountain in a big U-Haul truck, and we set up this giant gompa where there's a huge altar all the way across the front of the building with hundreds of water bowls. There's a huge throne for Lama Zopa Rinpoche. There's all this floor seating, we have to bring all these, we have storage of cushions and mats that have to be taken out. We take statues, tankas, we set up special rooms for Rinpoche, special kitchen, so there's all the supplies for basically a house that get taken out. It's a major undertaking, and that's just the basics. I mean, that doesn't even explain all the other organization and stuff that has to happen around it. So we ask everyone to chip in and volunteer, even if you don't go, because we are the hosts. And, you know, and to contribute to the retreat, and most importantly, go if you can. And with that, I think I'd like to go ahead and hand the mic over to Mayor, who's going to talk a little bit about, you know, experiences with Rinpoche and with the retreat.
Okay, now I'm on. Let's see. Oh, wow. Now I have a lot of time.
Yep.
Last time I had a really short time. Now I have a lot of time. It is. And it's changed too, isn't it? Okay. So, I guess the main thing, Sarah asked me to talk a little bit about Rinpoche and about Light of the Path retreat. And so I guess the biggest thing I want to share is my enthusiasm about the retreat and about Rinpoche. And I'm sure I can see people here who know Rinpoche probably better than I do and FPMT better than I do. So I don't know why I'm the one sitting up here, but here I am. I guess, you know, I started contemplating a little bit about what to talk about. And so I think I work for the archive, and I've done this transcribing. So it's really listening to Rinpoche's teachings. It's like being a tea bag. You're just steeped in the teachings with a microphone or a headphone on, and you just listen over and over again. And it's like you can hear Rinpoche in your mind afterwards, you know, and he's just teaching, and it's just amazing. So I feel like I got a lot of feeling for Rinpoche by doing that, and then now I'm doing this video archiving. So I've literally seen hundreds of videos of Rinpoche, and these are videos that are taken as he travels all around the world, meeting with hundreds of thousands of people, and the videos are taken, just random videos. They're not like just teachings, but it's just so incredibly inspiring. I was trying to think of like a couple just small examples, you know, but it's really impossible to describe Rinpoche in 10 minutes, or your experience with Rinpoche. I think the one thing is I always think it's just Rinpoche is bodhicitta in action. You know, he's really, really engaged in benefiting us, all of us, from, you know, people who are sick and dying, to people who are just dealing with transitions in their life, to animals, you know, to the smallest ant. You know, he's benefiting, and every moment is really about what he can do, how he can benefit all of us and everyone around him. So he's been a huge inspiration to me just by seeing videos and doing this job of transcribing his teachings. And then also I've been fortunate enough to spend some time with him. And then it is like in the movie, somebody was saying, you know, it's like a real live person who's doing what we aspire to be doing, you know, and it's like you see them 24/7, you know, and he really is doing that. Every word, every movement, everything is all for the people around him. And that's quite inspiring to see, even going, you know, he like hardly sleeps. It's just amazing just to see that in action. So I think that, you know, before experiencing in my work and then in my life, before seeing that, it was almost impossible to think about somebody being like that and really benefiting 24/7. And then when you see it, it's kind of shocking about how little that we're actually doing, like myself, I'll say, you know, to benefit others. But it's really inspiring. So just kind of thinking about that and kind of having that in the back of your mind, it's like, why go to Light of the Path retreat? Really, I think, you know, being around somebody like that is inspiring. And I think, you know, anybody who's been to the retreat will attest to the fact that you feel different when you're there and when you're around somebody like that. It's so amazing to be around Rinpoche, and then not only Rinpoche, but all of the senior students that come, both lay and ordained students who come, who are longtime students, and just to be around all of these people who have this same goal, and who are trying, not always successfully, but trying to be on this path together. And that is inspiring also. And, you know, I feel like it, as like the registration opened up for Light of the Path, it's sort of, you know, really inspiring to see the people who are traveling from all over the world to come here. Like Sarah mentioned, you know, registration open, and it was like immediately it was people from all over the world, you know, Turkey and Italy and Thailand and Vietnam and all of these countries, and they're traveling here. And it's more, I mean, if I guessed, I would say about 75% of the people so far are from other countries. They're not from North Carolina. They're not even from the United States, you know. So I guess, you know, how wonderful that we have this opportunity to go on this retreat, and it's just 4 hours away, and you can just get in your nice little car and drive there, and be in this beautiful surroundings of Black Mountain, and really get to settle into a place of practice. And, you know, Rinpoche comes and you can just feel the energy of all the students and Rinpoche, and it's just, you don't have to worry about all our conventional business, you know, and you can just really settle into that. And, you know, until you sort of experience that, I think it's really difficult to imagine it. It's, you know, and if it feels really difficult to imagine it, as Sarah says, you can easily come for just a weekend, because we're so close. It's like no problem to come for just a weekend or either of the weeks or the full 2 weeks. And it's easy to do that. And that's amazing. You know, how lucky we are. Let's see. I think I'll just touch a little bit. The biggest question I think that people ask who have never been to the retreat is, what is it like? And so I feel like the schedule is rigorous, although nobody's expected to come to all of the sessions of the retreat. Nobody is expected to participate in every aspect of the retreat. You can, you know, choose what you feel comfortable with, because the point isn't to get all tight around the retreat and I've got to do everything and I've got to do everything right. The point of the retreat is to change your mind and to be happy. So you want to keep that in mind. So like a typical day starts at about 5:30, and we take precepts and do Lama Chopa, and it starts in silence, which is really intimidating at first. If you've never done anything in silence, it's like, wow, it's so noisy in my head when nobody else is talking. So that's a little intimidating, but, you know, especially if you're able to stay for the 2 weeks, it's pretty amazing to see the changes that go on in just that short period of time. So silence goes through the lunch. So then there's breakfast, there's a break, there's a guided meditation session or a teaching review session or a teaching from one of the two other retreat leaders, which we are incredibly fortunate because our wonderful Geshe Gaelic is one of those retreat leaders this year. So he'll actually be probably teaching and doing some review of Rinpoche's teachings from the night before, which is really helpful. As you can see from just a little glimpse, it's like, you know, I think I mentioned in the earlier session, it's like you're at the retreat and not everything makes sense. It's like you're not going to understand every word that's said by Rinpoche, both literally and, you know, ultimately. But the review sessions are really helpful. So to help kind of gain a little bit more understanding. I kind of also want to stress, because I feel like another question is, you know, do I have enough experience to go on this retreat? And, you know, I think, yes, you do. Anybody has enough experience and enough knowledge if you have a sincere desire to learn more, then you will learn more. You will hear more. In the teachings, it's like, you know, the antenna on the TV. Sometimes it's a lot of snow and static, and then sometimes it just comes in and you really get it. And it's like those moments, you know, that you really get it, that you're going for. So then there's a lunch, and then there's discussion groups, which some people find really, really helpful because the groups are broken up, and there's, you know, more experienced students with some students who have less experience. So you can kind of ask some questions, you know, basic questions up to more complicated questions, and get a little bit of background. So those discussion groups are really helpful. And this is another area where you're really getting to experience, the Sangha. And that's really amazing. And like Sarah pointed out, it's like we're this little tiny, you know, part of this great big organization. And it's really cool when people come from all these different centers, or not centers, but practitioners, you know, coming together, and we kind of get a little bit from all the different people, and different centers practice differently. I mean, I sort of have really experienced that since coming from Kurukula, which is one of the centers with the hugest Tibetan population. Like, I mean, it's just amazing. You know, I was really, there's just sort of a small group of Western practitioners at that center, and it's mostly Tibetans, which has just an incredibly different flavor than Kadampa Center. And then also Milarepa Center is way, you know, up in the mountains if you've never been there, and it's very quiet and it's very small, you know, and you experience teachings with like 10 other people with like Chodun Rinpoche, which is mind-blowing. You know, it's just amazing. So anyway, I digress there, but all these people coming here to North Carolina, just to say. Then there's, after the discussion groups, there's usually yoga classes. In the past, there's been Tai Chi. It just sort of depends year to year on who goes and who volunteers to offer a specific class. So we'll see as we get closer what kind of movement type of classes we'll have to offer this year. And then in the early evening, 4 to 6, there's a teaching sometimes by Lama Zopa Rinpoche, sometimes by one of the other two retreat leaders. Then there's dinner for those who are not taking precepts, and you do not have to take precepts. And so dinner's offered. And then there's a short break, and then Lama Zopa Rinpoche teaches on most nights. And this is when you've got to be strong, because he usually teaches till the wee hours of the morning, at least pretty late. And everybody's pretty tired and hungry by then, but usually, you know, it's just amazing. Rinpoche really has a unique way of teaching. I think people either, you know, go away going, or they're just completely blown away, you know. It's wonderful time spent. I guess that's kind of it for the schedule. I forgot to talk about that too. So YMCA Blue Ridge Assembly is a beautiful, I don't know how many acres, it's lots of acres, lots of land in the mountains, there's a bunch of different buildings, so you can kind of choose which style of housing you want. There's a dormitory style, there's also a hotel style, so if you want a little more cush, there's that option. And the food is served buffet style, so all your, you know, worldly comforts are met. There's food, place to sleep. And then there's this beautiful surroundings of all the land. There's trails and, you know, for your movement, if you want to get out and do some hiking, certainly there's that opportunity. And, yeah, it's just amazing. And I really, really, really hope that there will be a wonderful contingent of Kadampa Center members at the retreat, because we're so fortunate to have it so close to us. And then also, it's not only that, but it's like bringing all of that energy back here is just amazing. You know, it's just amazing. So, I don't know. I guess that's it. Yeah, does anybody have questions? No Dharma questions. I don't take Dharma questions. But questions about the retreat or...
And Mayor, on the Bodhisattva Attitude, is that the name of the book?
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the free ones out there, and it's the whole first year.
Yeah.
So I wanted to tell everybody, if you want to read it, it's just... You can hear exactly what the teachings were, and it's just an incredible book.
Well, and there's also, you can go online, too, and see, that is right. Portions of the first year. But yeah. You can also go online to epmt.org and Living in the Path, and you can read the transcripts of the full first 2 years. But this is a really accessible.
Yeah. And Sarah Thresher, Venerable Sarah, does an introduction that's rather long, and it's quite inspiring. So if anybody wants a little extra boost, that's amazing.
It is amazing. Wow. 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 That's Rinpoche.
And I just wanted to also say that, you know, if you've never done retreat, being out at a mountainous, quiet space where you're away from the distractions of television and daily life, and if you've got kids, all these things that normally are distracting us from really kind of focusing in on what we're trying to achieve, this inner happiness, is profoundly different than trying to practice in your daily life here at a center. So that's another reason to consider trying a retreat, in that it's a totally different way of experiencing and much deeper possibly way of practicing.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. So we're going to finish the session by saying our dedication prayers together, and then we'll have a short presentation by Susan Potter as well. So if you'll turn to the pink sheet in your prayer books, and whatever merit we may have created by listening to Lama Zipa Rinpoche's teachings and thinking about practicing the Dharma and kind of changing our lives for the better and benefiting others, we can dedicate. Also, please keep in mind all the people on our prayer list who are suffering from difficulties of body and mind or are in the bardo at the moment. We will say the dedication verses by Shanti Deva and then go down through the long life prayers on that pink sheet. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid, and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power, and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good. All-powerful Chenrezig Tenzin Gyatso, please. please remain until samsara ends. Savior of the Snowland teachings and transmigratory beings, who extensively clarifies the path that unifies emptiness and compassion, to the lotus in the hand, Lord Tenzin Gyatso, I beseech, may all your holy wishes be fulfilled. The one who mastered his speech at a very young age, the one with great patience who received the name Avatare, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama, ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. You who uphold the subduer's moral way, who serve as the bountiful bearer of all, sustaining, preserving, and spreading Manjanath's victorious doctrine, who masterfully accomplish magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, Savior of myself and others, your disciples, please, please live long. And then we'll say seven green Tara mantras for Geshe Gelug's health and long life. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Thank you. And if there was anybody who wasn't here this morning, please tell them about the Light of the Path retreat. So, Susan?
Thank you. Before I start on this little presentation for the Financial Development Committee, I will throw in my two cents about Rinpoche and the Light of the Path retreat. For the longest time when I was coming here, I didn't have a very strong feeling for Rinpoche, and I felt like there was something wrong with me or I was a fifth wheel. People spoke glowingly of him, and I just didn't have it there. But I think he might have come in 1997 at that big hotel in Cary. And Richard and I, they were asking for sponsors, and we sponsored one of the evenings. And then he was here another time or two, and I really just didn't think too much about it. But somewhere along the line, it's just like a light bulb went off. I extended myself out to sponsor teachings or attend teachings or read his teachings, and it gets there. I can't explain it, but it really does just get there. And so if you're feeling a little like I did, which is, where's the love? It's there. You there may be some obstacles or something, but it truly is there, so I can't explain it any better than that. But the retreat is excellent. I was able to go for a week in 2010. I am not super retreat girl. I probably will go for the more cush. The dormitory was okay, managed fine. Don't take precepts every day, but, it was very, very helpful. So I encourage everybody to go and not be fearful at all about it. So, changing gears, I am representing the Financial Development Committee. We're a small group who are responsible for raising the money for the center. And I have for the last 2 weeks, we've had different presentations. And today, I have a little presentation called Kadampa Center for the Study of Tibetan Buddhism Compared to the United States of America. And the first slide here is, I woke up this morning, so this is not a teaching, this is a presentation. I did just think this up this morning. It is not authentic. Woke up worrying, oh, sure. I woke up this morning thinking about the President of the United States and how really all of the presidents, it's not just this current president, but how all of the presidents of the United States have quite a big job. Managing whatever else they're doing, they're managing all of these competing interests. And I just thought of a few organizations that seem to be sort of at odds with one another, and there are many, many more than this, but these are just some that popped into my mind: the NRA, rhinos. I Republicans in name only, Tea Party people, environmentalists, corporate interests. We read in the paper about all of these different organizations, and everybody seems to be working sort of it seems like at cross purposes because everybody's got their own agenda. It creates a confusing picture. And so we've got all these different things, and then we've got regular people like us, and I was going to put my name on there as Joe Sixpack, but then I really thought maybe I should put Soccer Mom might be a little more accurate. But, you know, then there's the small ones of us individually. And what makes this so confusing, I think, is that there are lots of competing views among these groups. Doesn't seem to be very much harmony. And everyone working in different directions. So we're left to ask, where are we going with all of this? And why is it like this? And so my theory, a theory only, not, but think about this as, and I'm checking to make sure if that even is spelled right. It doesn't look right. is this is so confusing because of our views, and because I've attended enough teachings by our dear venerable Rabbina, where she encourages us to make sure that our definitions are precise. And you watch, I bet when she comes in January, you will hear her talk about how we need to make sure our definitions are precise. So Sarah gave me the nod at the first session that this definition of view is at least acceptable. The understanding of the way things are. With this definition, I'm still saying we're all attached to our view. We think we are right when we have a view. It's a confusing mental state when we have a view that isn't right. So that doesn't happen very often. When we have a view, we think that's the way things are. And our nature often is to try to get others to adopt our view. And in some circumstances, we're willing to pay money, as you will see in just a second, to make that happen. Well, I'm going to... Okay. I think I've lost one here. Let me see. No, not quite. Okay. And in fact, really big money. We may not be aware of it because we're not involved in it ourselves, but really big money in our country and around the world, but in our country especially, really big money is spent in the effort to convince others of their view. Two areas which this popped into my mind, lobbyists and advertising, spend money every day to change people's minds. But not us, because we want to change our own minds. So, this is the Buddhist part. That was the presentation about the United States. This is the presentation about the Kadampa Center. And it's a little difficult to boil it down into one piece of flip chart, because the Kadampa Center means quite a bit to all of us. We have the 84,000 teachings of the Buddha, hundreds if not thousands of commentaries written about the actual teachings themselves, of which we've already talked about how many of those we have each year, about 14,000 Dharma opportunities in this center alone. We fluctuate here on this term here between suffering and happiness on this spectrum based on, you know, whether we're hot, cold, hungry, happy, just got what we want, just lost what we had, whatever. With much knowledge and much practice, we can move out this curve. We could call this the happiness curve. With little practice and little knowledge, this is sort of where we stay, in the suffering mode. So moving out here, I feel like, my theory is, that this happens after our views, when we have a different understanding of our views. Kadampa Center, we are all moving in the right, in one direction, and there's a lot of harmony here. Now, I really don't particularly like this phrase, we vote with our dollars, but it seemed appropriate for this. So, if you'll hand me that bag, Sandy. I wanted to, where we're talking about happiness, I wanted to give an example of, I might need my notes, I'm not very good, of how we vote with our dollars and what you get for this. So last week I went out and bought something, there you go, that I thought, I've been told this would make me happy. This is a box of Lucky Charms. And in fact, it's a happy picture. And in fact, everything on this box, there's all this commentary on the back about fun to know about rainbows. There's a magical scene. There's a rainbow of colorful charms. And in fact, this box contains three rainbows, not just two or one, so I'm not sure how many of these ever used to have, because this is literally probably my first box of Lucky Charms. But anyway, now they come with three. So what do you get for this $4? You get some whole grain marshmallow sugar. Behind that, you got to think part of that $4 went to the packaging. Part of that $4 went to the advertising, which I think might have been a big part of the $4. And another big part of the $4 goes to corporate interest, earnings, which are paid out in the form of dividends to shareholders. A big part of it goes to the CEO, the corporate executives. And a bit of it, we already talked about earlier, goes to lobbyists and media. To be able to put this on the package, that it's the whole grain is the first ingredient, there's probably a lobbyist dedicated just to being able to get that wording on this package. Being able to advertise this on Saturday mornings, there's a lobbyist, I imagine, or maybe a whole firm. I really could do some more research on this, but you think there is? Oh, okay, she knows. Okay, so anyway, and these people don't get paid minimum wage, I don't think. Okay, all right, so anyway, we can see that for $4, what this happiness, there's really a lot more wrapped up in this than what really meets the eye. For our $4, which here's some other things that you can buy for $4, a latte, a gallon of gas, so we're really just not talking about a lot of money, but this center provides spiritual programs, classes, our Gompa, just to be able to sit in here, have access to the teachings with Geshe-la, others who have our visiting teachers. This is truly, I think if we think this through, this is truly where we go for happiness. We spend an awful lot of time, and more importantly, so many others are out there competing for our $4. Everywhere you turn, there's advertising. I went to fill up my car with gas the other day. I think there was a movie on in the gas pump. I don't know how they did that, but there's a little movie playing in the gas pump. And so they are really trying hard to get my $4. So we are really just trying to help people think about the value of this center. And there's no charge for teachings. We wouldn't know how to put a value on it. It comes from each of us individually. And so the Financial Development Committee is just encouraging you to think about how supporting Kadampa Center, especially during this fundraising drive that we have on right now, enhances your own spiritual path. There was a line that seemed very appropriate from one of the slides where the quote from the Buddha was, "I can show you the path. Achieving liberation is up to you." So we have this year-end challenge of trying to raise $100,000, which will go towards our next year's budget. We had a $25,000 goal. If we could reach that by the end of this month, we announced this 2 weeks ago, if we could reach $25,000 by the end of December, then there was another group of contributors who were willing to kick in an extra $10,000. The report, as of this morning, is excellent. We have reached 20,491. Okay, I'm going to take the Lucky Charms back. That'll put us to $4.95. Somebody's got a $5 bill. Then we'll be at 20,500. So we only are short, at this point, $4,500 to get to our goal. That extra $10,000 will be kicked in. We'll be at $100,000. Just know that won't be our whole budget for next year, but we spent $160,000 last year. And $100,000, if we can start the year off with that committed from people, either already in hand or pledges to come in, then we'll be in really a pretty good shape. We might not be on as solid a footing as General Mills, at least financially. We'll be better. We'll be on better footing spiritually than this. So if you can think of a check, a credit card number that you like to share, you can make a monthly donation, quarterly, a single donation, stock. Pretty, you know, we'll talk. I don't know. I've sort of lost track. But we really will be most appreciative. But really, I think if you put yourself, well, I guess it just sort of ties back to what I just said about Rinpoche. We put ourselves out a little bit first, and then the gratitude and the relationship came. Maybe that's a thought for you all to ponder, that if you support the center, maybe that will strengthen your, well, we're thinking it will strengthen your practice. So, great. Thank you very much. Sandy, and I'll be out in the lobby if anybody has any questions. So if you've already donated, thank you so much. And if you haven't, please give it a thought.
Thank you, Susan. That was a wonderful presentation. A quick announcement before you go. The middle school program today was working on merit bags, and that was one of the FTMT charitable projects that we participate in is the Merit Box program, and they didn't have boxes, so they made bags. And the way the program works is you can keep a little box or can or bag or whatever, and you throw your spare change in it, and then once a year we collect it and we send it to FPMT, and that money is used to support FPMT projects. And so they've made these decorated merit bags. If anybody would like to have one, they'll be passing them out in the lobby as you go. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful Sunday.